Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment. As usual, what we do here, it is our custom to first welcome our guests and to really take the time and say to them that is with honor that we do take and welcome them. First of all, their precious time that they have decided to come with us. Number two, they are here to entrust with you and I their journey. And we truly, from the bottom of my heart as the host, I look at this as a precious time. And I thank you, Doc, for coming to Threads of Enlightenment. And I want you to introduce yourself to the people, tell them about your creation.
Ken, it's an honor to be with you today. Thank you so much for inviting me and having me on your show.
Thank you.
My name is William Attaway. I am a leadership coach. I'm a pastor. But before either of those things, I'm a husband and a father. Been married to my wife, Charlotte, for 24 years now. We'll hit 25 later this year. Nice. I have two daughters. One is about to graduate high school, actually next week as we record this. Wow. And one is finishing up her freshman year of high school. And they are just joys in our family's life. I have served in the business world, and for the last 25 years have served in the local church as a pastor. Mm-hmm. I have written a couple of books, and most recently a book called Catalytic Leadership that captures what I have learned so far in my journey as a student and practitioner of leadership. My goal is to help other leaders get better, and that's what the book captures, is my effort so far to summarize so many of the conversations I've had as I've coached leaders for the last couple decades, and try to help other leaders learn from those ditches and mm-hmm. those successes, and how to get better, how to grow intentionally yeah. and purposefully so that they can very intentionally grow and thrive in their mm-hmm. leadership and in their life.
That is excellent. I love how you utilize the word intentionally, and a majority of people don't live that way. And it is a shame. And we ought to live that way, because if we lived intentionally, we would be some powerhouses that are walking on this planet. Doc, I want to take you back a little to your childhood. I want you to bring us into your space with your family so we can see your upbringing. You mentioned your pastor and all of those things. And I want to tell you also that I am also. And so I am looking forward to this conversation so that we can get into some aspects that is going to be some powerful conversation. Talk to us about your family upbringing. How was that?
So I grew up actually in Alabama, outside of Birmingham, and mm-hmm. grew up with both parents in my home. We grew up, and I had a younger brother who's about 4.5 years younger than I am. My parents struggled in a number of ways, ultimately resulting in them separating when I was 15. And of course, that had a pretty dramatic impact on me and on our home, yeah. as you might imagine.
Yeah,
You know, seeing parents that you see as you know, the bedrock, so to speak, you know, separate and divorce and all the arguments and the fighting and all the things that go along with that had a pretty dramatic impact on me and how I viewed family, how I viewed relationships, mm-hmm. how I viewed marriage. And one of the things that I learned from that season was, this is not what I want. I want something different than this. I want something better than this. Yeah. And so that really pushed me down a path of being far more intentional about relationships, about marriage, than I think I ever would have been otherwise.
Yeah, I get that 100%, because one of the things that drove me to pursue a relationship with my sons is because of what I did not have with my parents mm-hmm. and my dad. And my goal was to have that relationship, because there were times that pivotal times in my life that I remember as a young man when I wanted to go to my dad to have this conversation, and we didn't have it. So I purposely, as you said, with intention, made a commitment to myself that I would pursue something else. So here you are. This trauma that took place in your life, and I always tell people we're all traumatized to some degree. And you took this and you made an agreement within yourself. And that's the thing that I want people to understand, that from these traumas, we make agreements, whether it is an mm-hmm. intentional agreement like you did, where you said, and I did the same. And I guess we all do it to some level. but I actually said it and thought it and walked it through that that's not what I want. And some people, Doc, will say it within themselves, as the scripture says, that they will say it within themselves. And it's not a verbally expression, but they've made that commitment, says, I'm not going to do this, or I'm going to do this. And based on that confession, that belief, they then govern their life. So here you are, you have made this decision. Walk me through high school. Did you live with your mom, or was it as common, you have the back and forth, going back and forth? And how was that on you as an individual?
I lived with my mom primarily. There was some back and forth, visits and times and whatnot. Yeah. I think that what that ended up doing in me was creating this very, because it was two very different environments. I mean, obviously two very different parents, right? And mm-hmm. and so in that situation, you find yourself trying to figure out like how to sew a relationship back together with each of them that feels fractured. And so you have to learn that. And as a 15, 16 year old, you don't have the tools. You're trying to kind of navigate this without ever having gone through it. And there's not a whole lot of people that you can talk to about it.
Yeah.
And so that's where I was. And I threw myself into other things. I was very engaged in extracurricular activities in school. And so that's really where I invested myself. I had intended to go and study pharmacy and become a pharmacist, actually. Mm-hmm. And that's when I left high school, went to college, and started as a pre-pharmacy major. But one of the things that I think God used in my journey was when I was 15 years old, that same year, one of my teachers saw potential in me. And he invited me to attend a leadership conference in outside Philadelphia in Valley Forge. Oh. And I had never been to a leadership conference. I never really considered leadership as a field of study, but I was hooked. And I've been a student of leadership now for over 30 years, learning as much as I could from as many people as I could, as often as I could. And not just being a student, but actually being a practitioner now for almost 30 years. Mm-hmm. That's been helpful as I've studied and practiced, as I've coached leaders and helped them in their journeys. So it's so funny how I think God never wastes an experience. I think every experience in our lives can be for our benefit, can be useful. We may not see it in the moment, and we may not see it for many years, but it can be used if we understand that we are not just to be a reservoir of our experience, but we're to be a conduit of it.
Yes.
Right. If we hold all that we learn, all the teachings, all the learning just for us, well, that's not the point. The point is to be a conduit so that we can share what we've learned, what we've benefited from, what we've experienced. We can share that for the benefit of other people so that maybe we can help them to get better and to grow and to avoid some of the ditches that we stepped into and help them achieve what it is that God wired and designed them to achieve.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that everything, every experience, every job, everything that you and I will ever do, God is not a wasteful God.
No.
He will take it and he will create a position, a situation where you're using all of it in your journey. And it is, as you mentioned, I believe, and I said to you on the onset, the podcast within the podcast, that the gift that we get as we go through this journey is that to become a servant. And it is the highest position, as well as one of the most humblest, if I may use that, position that you can be in as an individual. Because you, to get there, you had to go through some stuff. And as you mentioned, there are a lot of people that are not trustworthy with their journey, and they are selfish, and they hold on to the knowledge, and would not, in many cases, I know, they don't even share it with their siblings and sons and things like that. And that's not the purpose of one's journey. So here you are. You were taken to this leadership conference, and you're in college. You made a decision to study the pharmacy. How did you go through and complete that, or did you move from the pharmacy piece and switched into the leadership while you were in college?
Yeah, I went to college and my first three semesters, you know, was in the pre-pharmacy track and mm-hmm. took chemistry, inorganic. Then I got to organic chemistry and I quickly discovered that this is not what I want to spend the rest of my life doing.
Yeah.
I'd worked in a pharmacy, had, you know, become enamored with the opportunity to help people in a very tangible yeah. way, but organic chemistry was not it. So I said, okay, what now? And again, you know, that's not a wasted experience because yeah. it was through my brief chemistry studies that I learned the power of a catalyst.
Yeah.
You know, a catalyst yeah. is something that you introduce to incite or accelerate significant change.
Yes.
Wow. Usually has a pretty powerful impact when you do that.
Oh, yeah.
And I've thought about that over the years and thought about how every leader I had ever studied, every leader I'd ever met and learned from who was catalytic, right? All the great leaders were catalytic. They got that. They understood the power of change, the power of significant impact. And that's what they sought. That's what they pursued.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to see the organization, the team, whatever it is that they led, they wanted to see that make a difference.
Yes.
And so even that, what feels like a misstep or a missed road, guess what? God still uses it, mm-hmm. right? And that power of a catalyst is really what drives me toward what I call catalytic leadership, which is what I teach and what I coach. It's helping leaders learn to be catalytic in their environment, to yeah. accelerate or incite significant change in order to make a significant impact.
Yeah. I remember Lee Iacocca and I came out of corporate America and I studied several of leadership. He took a team that was actually failing with their production and came in and changed the culture. Once he changed the culture, that same team was producing some of the best automobiles at the time and came from nothing to one of the premier producers of the automobile. And he did it with the same set of people that the whole organization was close to bankruptcy and falling apart when he came in. So I know what a true leader can come in and do and a change in organization. And he was just one that I mentioned. I've studied much others. Here you are, you've made this decision. And I know that must have, how did, I guess your mom outside of you, people outside of you, when you made that decision, when you make that turn, because that is a major thing. And I could hear some of the beautiful, expression as to why you would do that. Talk to how that felt for you and, how did the outside forces, look at you at that point in your life?
It was disorienting, to be sure, because when you think you know the road ahead and yeah. you start down it, and then all of a sudden you realize that's not it.
Yeah,
it's disorienting, and you're not sure exactly what to do. And so, you know, first semester, I kind of floundered around, tried different things, changed my major, I'm sure, half a dozen times, trying to figure out where I wanted to go next, and ultimately dropped out of college and said, this is a waste of money and time because I don't have a direction.
Yeah,
and until I have a clear direction, what am I chasing? And so I dropped out and I started working and I worked as an office manager, ultimately moved over to Bell South Mobility, which was the wireless carrier in the Southeast back in the 90s, and started working with them. Started in sales and moved through that organization for several years and began to grow and lead and learn there and saw leadership in a different realm, saw leadership in a business world context. Yeah. And it was my first opportunity to really lead laterally and lead up. Mm-hmm. As well as the team that I was a part of. And that was a fantastic experience for me, one that I would not trade. It was during that season.
It was why you got that revelation.
Sure.
You know, while you're doing that, I'm sure. And now you're getting, I always tell people, you have the lab. Once you get the theory, you now have to enter into the lab. So talk to me about the lab, Doc, as you are looking at your life and you're making these adjustments.
I think in that lab moment in those years, you know, just like any organization, any team, any company, there were examples of great leadership and there were examples of poor leadership. And I had an opportunity to learn from both. I firmly believe, and I teach this often, that you can learn from anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you learn what not to do. Yes. But that can be incredibly valuable if you enter into it with a teachable spirit. And that's really something that is so important to me. I talk about this all the time, that a teachable spirit is a non-negotiable for a catalytic leader. We have to enter into every day, every moment, every circumstance, understanding it as an opportunity to learn something. Maybe what not to do.
One of the keys to life. One of the keys to personal growth. You want to grow?
That's exactly right.
That's one of the major keys or principles, I call it. One of the major principles that you must adapt in your sphere, in your life, in your thinking, in your the way you process things. That right there, that is key. And a lot of people don't want to have that spirit because they think it's weak for some reason. And the perception is absolutely crazy that you think that someone that is have an open heart is a weak person is absolutely horrendous to me. I can't even put it, but I cannot tell you how many people that I know are like that. And they never get anywhere. We call those the know-it-alls, as they say.
That's right.
And they never give themselves an opportunity to be humble and experience a teachable spirit attitude and lifestyle, because it'll change them. So you're learning these principles within this space in the corporate America, and you had to go there because that's where you find a lot of the leaders. So God moved you from one space to another so you can get a chance to witness within the lab situation the different types of leadership so that you can now began to crystallize what you believe. So here you are, you're going through all of these things. I want you to talk to me now as to your belief system with your Christian belief. Where did that enter and how did that come about?
You know, it was actually during my last year at Bell South. I was rooming with two other guys. We were renting a house and I had grown up in church, attending. It wasn't a matter of super fantastic importance for our family growing up. It was something that we did. And most of the time we were there, but it wasn't a relationship. It was something that you did. It was just an activity, much like any other activity that you do. Mm-hmm. I got baptized when I was 8 because all the other kids were getting baptized. So you jump in and you do that too, right?
Yeah.
I didn't have a relationship. When I was working at Bell South, one of my roommates started asking me some questions, and he was a strong follower of Jesus. And he started asking me some questions about my faith. And I had been around it enough. I knew the words to use and the right things to say.
Yeah.
And he would listen and smile. And one day he said something that really irritated me. And I thought it was kind of a jerk thing to say, but I'll be forever grateful for it. Mm-hmm. He said that he'd asked me a question. I'd given him some answer. And he said, you know, I really think you need to get real about your faith and get serious about it instead of just pretending like you actually have one. Wow. That's kind of a jerk thing to say.
That's a powerful thing to say.
But wow, what the power of someone who is willing to be honest and speak truth to another person in the context of relationship. It wasn't said in a haughty way, an arrogant way. Mm-hmm. He spoke the truth in love.
Yes.
And he had my best interest at heart. That took me a little time to get past that, and to understand that, but I did. And over the next year, I had the opportunity to have a lot more conversations with him about this, about what he was talking about. Yeah. Because again, it had never been real to me. It was not a relationship. It was just an activity. And over the course of that year, I made a decision to follow Jesus myself and entered into a relationship with him. And that changed everything. That was the moment in which everything changed. And that changed not only my own personal faith journey. That's where my faith began. But it also changed my career trajectory because I thought, I really want to be a part of helping other people. Like in this specific way. So that moved me toward the idea of vocational ministry, of choosing ministry as a career where I could help other people with the best hours of my day.
Yeah.
And so for the last 25 years, that's what I've been doing.
Wow. Wow. That's beautiful. So here you are, you're moving through life, and one of your roommates introduced you to Jesus. You are now made a decision to be a disciple, as they say. And you are a disciple. You're moving through. You see as being a disciple, you got your perspective was shifted and you began to look at your life and, at a different level. So you've made a decision. You went in. How long did it get you from once you made that decision? How long did you stay into the company? Did you leave? Did you go both to school? How did you manage that?
It was about a year that I stayed at Bell South and continued to work while I was continuing to learn from my roommate and others, and really dove deep into the local church.
Yeah.
And as I began to grow and learn more and wanted to begin to serve and share, not just be poured into, but begin to share what God had done in my life and share that with other people, opportunities began to present themselves. And one in particular was to go on staff at this small church, working with their youth, with their students.
Yeah.
And so I started doing that and thought I could do both. I could work at Bell South and I could do that as well. It quickly became clear that's a really difficult thing to juggle, to do both of those things, because I also realized I needed to go back to school because there was a lot of information that I needed. I did not have the education to do what it is that I wanted to do. So trying to juggle those three things was going to be impossible. So I ended up leaving Bell South and poured myself totally into my studies and into working in the local church. So I served two local churches in college, two different ones, and then moved and worked on a master's degree at a seminary in Texas, where I served another local church out there. And so that's what I have been doing, is constantly trying to figure out how I can learn more so I can share more.
Yeah.
That's what prompted me to pursue a doctorate, because I thought I want more information so that I can help other people in a more tangible way.
Yeah.
I think that information doesn't mean transformation, but information is helpful, right? It's a helpful tool that we can use to help other people if we use it appropriately, if we see it as a tool, not as the ultimate goal.
Yeah, I agree. And one of the things that I tell my listeners, Doc, and you had mentioned, you alluded to it when you were in college, when the reason why we go circular and our life is as people say, it's out of riots, it's just all over the place, is because we haven't found a decision. We haven't made a decision as to where we want to point all of our faith, our the power that is within us. And once we receive that, I always say to them, make it a point to get your statement of faith. What is it that you're wanting to do within your life at that specific time? And the reason why I say the statement of faith is something that you personally believe more than anyone else around you, more than your father, your mother, your grandmother, everybody, your wife, everybody. There is something that happened within you and you said, this is it. This is what I want to do. And the minute you do that, the next step, and I tell them that in my belief system, it says faith without works is dead, meaning that once you have located your statement of faith, your goal, your desire that you want to achieve, you will then take the steps necessary to make that a reality. And that is why you pursued your studies, because it is the step to bring to pass what you released several years ago, once you made that decision, this is the road that I want to go on. And I've said this in so many podcasts, Doc, that is one of the keys to moving your life forward. Find your statement of faith. When you go to kids that are in college that are moving back and forth, they haven't discovered what that statement is. Once you have, I am telling you, I believe, because of who we are and coming from my belief system, that when we are in that place, the words that you and I speak are absolutely words filled with faith, because we have believed it within ourselves. We are unified with this decision. And the reason why people don't move is because they're not unified with their decision. And the Bible says when you're in that space, a double-minded man is not going to get anything, period. So like you did, Doc, you left that that arena, went into work, and then within the space of work was when you recentered based on some situation that happened in your life that caused you to recenter. This was, how many years was this that passed by, Doc?
Oh, goodness. I was with Bell South for just over 3 years. And so it was that last year that I was learning and growing. And then the preparation, right? Serving in these churches, finishing a bachelor's degree, a master's, that was 6 more years.
Yeah. So it takes time. And, my purpose is to tell them that it takes time. Don't rush it. Just pursue what you're going after. Go after it. And, you will be amazed as to the people that will come into your path. You will be amazed as to the circumstances that will cause people to come into your path. Don't be afraid. Just get out there, make your decision, and believe it to your core, and make your confession. Here you are. You're attaining your studies, and you're moving forward, Don. And you now a Christian. You're a disciple. You're going to school and studying. You're seeing the folks in church. I want to talk about some of those, and we had mentioned this on the onset, some of those belief systems that were within you that you needed to bring to the forefront of your thoughts to deal with some of your fears, some of those things that are what I call that the enemies of personal development. Talk to us as to some of those that you had to that you encounter, that you had to move through in your life.
Yeah, I think there had to, over time, I had to figure out how to integrate my passion for leadership, the thing I had been studying since I was 15, mm-hmm. What I had encountered in the business world, and my faith, and now working in a church world, nonprofit environment.
Yeah.
How do you integrate those three things? Because those don't feel like they go together. If you start talking about leadership in a church, there's people who kind of cock their eye a little bit, and they're like, I don't know about all that, you know? So there had to be a way in which I could integrate what it was I felt like God had given me a passion for.
Yeah.
And that was something that took some time. And this happened during the years of my studies and beyond. Mm-hmm. I thought and still believe that leadership matters. And one of my mentors, John Maxwell, says that, you know, leadership is influence, nothing less, nothing more.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, you know, every person on this planet has influence with at least one other person. Ergo, there are principles of leadership they need to learn if they're going to do that well, if they're going to do it intentional. So for me, trying to learn how to bring my passion for leadership and benefit other people through this new context, through the local church, that was something I had to learn. And I had many, many people who poured into and invested in me.
Yeah.
But again, my goal was not just to be a reservoir. And so I was constantly seeking ways that I could share what I was learning, whether it was starting a new small group of young leaders or inexperienced leaders or leaders who just wanted to grow. I've run so many of those groups over the years because I want to pour out what I'm learning. I want to share what I'm learning with other people. Mm-hmm. Now there's so many ways we can do that, whether it's via a blog or a podcast, whether it's a Facebook group or a book, whatever it is that we have the opportunity to do, whatever skills we've learned how to do over the years, are we leveraging those for the benefit of other people to share what's been poured into us so that other people can benefit from it? Yeah. Or are we just kind of hoarding it all for ourselves?
Yeah.
One of those is catalytic leadership and one of them is not.
Yeah. And it's sad, as I mentioned to you, where those that hold back their talents. And we'll talk. I want to talk to you about that aspect in a little while. Leadership is any relationship, whether it's with your wife and your children and all of this thing, where there is a human experience, there is leadership. And so it is something that we all need to learn as individuals, and because we lead our family, we lead churches, we lead at work, we lead friendship. I mean, it is inert within the human experience to be a leader. We're looking, the Bible is full of those guys. You know, Esther, they have a whole bunch of them. Jesus Christ is a leader. And we saw what he did. He took 12 guys and look what they did, you know.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the effect of a leader by the results that his disciples, and I tell people, when you are in a state of leadership, you people tend to look at all these people. What I focus on are the disciples, Doc. I try to identify the disciples because those are the ones that will grasp it faster. They will grab it into themselves to grow and grow and grow. And it is our hope that they take it and be bigger and better than you and I can ever be. So here you are. You are doing all of these things. You're taking the young leaders and educating them. Now that you are here, you're doing all of these things. Talk to me as to when that voice began to talk to you and said, okay, it's time for you to put it in a book. And how was that experience?
You know, I wrote my first book about 8 years ago in 2014. Mm-hmm. I was on sabbatical and wrote a book during that time. Mm-hmm. And it was a capturing of leadership principles that I had learned and some that I had taught and shared with other people. It was capturing all of that, but specifically in the context of what we call in the Christian faith, the minor prophets, right?
Yeah.
So I called it leadership principles or leadership lessons from the not so minor prophets. We think minor is less important. Yeah. Minor just refers to their length, not their importance. There's so many principles in there that are so helpful. So I took six of these shorter prophets and I pulled leadership principles from them. That was the first book. And it was the first opportunity I had to really start as a writer and start capturing some of what had been invested in me and putting it through the lens of my life and my experience and my leadership.
Yeah.
And then I would blog, I would write articles periodically and contribute to other books, but had not written a second book. During COVID, during the pandemic, you know, the world shut down. We had a lot of different things we were struggling with, different things we were wrestling with. And I wanted to intentionally use that time. And I had been working on this book, the most recent book, you know, off and on for a couple of years, might have had 3,000 words on paper at that point.
Yeah.
Not much at all. But during the pandemic, I decided I really want to get this. I really want to get this on paper because I want to help as many people as I can. And I think right now leadership matters more than it ever has in my lifetime.
Yeah.
And so that's really what the catalyst was for putting this on paper and putting this in print was to help other people during a season that I think leadership was critically important.
Yeah. We are looking at the leaderships of the world and those that are lacking are being exposed. It is a interesting time that we are part of. And
indeed,
the Bible tells us that certain things are supposed to happen, and we are watching much of it began to manifest before our eyes. And it's really an interesting time that we live in for those who have ears, as Jesus said, let them hear. So they are listening with something else other than the natural stuff. So here you are, you're having this opportunity. And I believe that COVID came to birth a lot of businesses, to give birth to a lot of things that were dormant within us because we were too busy.
Absolutely.
And I believe we were afforded the time to go in and receive the information, the instruction by which we then needed to give birth to these things that were dormant within our being. So here you are. You have given birth to this. You have learned the principles that God has given to you through these, the books, the other, about the minor prophets. I love those prophets, by the way. You are learning, pulling from all over, from all aspects, all places, the Bible, books and studies about leadership, the principles within it, and how to be an effective, purposeful, intentional leader in your life and in your families at work and so forth. Now, I want to talk to you about one of those young ones that you taught. If you can remember one of them, Doc, when you instilled within them the principles that you learned, and what was the outcome from that conversation and that encounter?
You know, there are so many of those over the years.
I'm sure.
And I take joy every time I see, you know,
what
God is doing in them and through them these days. Mm-hmm. You know, there's one who came and she actually came as a part-time intern on our staff and was with us for several years. And I loved watching what God did with this one who lacked confidence in so many ways, but felt a sense of calling and purpose that God had created her on purpose for a purpose. And she wanted to lean into that, but she lacked the confidence and the experience. And we had the ability and the privilege to pour into and invest in her. Mm-hmm. And to teach her and give her opportunities to grow and to gain experience and to watch what happened over the years that she was with us was pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. But even more so has been what's happened in her life since then. Wow. To watch how God has taken her to a different part of the country and used her in a much bigger way than she could have ever dreamed, in a much mm-hmm. bigger place to touch more people than she ever thought she could.
Wow.
And I love that. I love that. Yeah. I watched another guy go through and was a part of the small group that we led and watched him just gain a thirst and a hunger for helping other leaders grow and learn about leadership himself, but then begin to want to pour that out like what he saw, you know, happening with me and with us. Mm. And so he began to do that. And now he's in a different part of the country, but he's impacting so many more people than he was when he was here.
Wow.
Because he leaned into that.
Yeah.
And he caught a vision for what God created him to do. And now he is a creator. Now he is pouring into and investing in other people in his own unique way, using the gifts and skills that God has gifted him with. So many stories like that. Those two are the first ones that come to mind, but they are far from the only ones. And that is a great privilege.
The reason why I pulled that out of you is I wanted to tell the people that there's a lot of people that say they're happy, and happiness is good. I mean, most people enjoy, and the happiness that most people talk about is tied into things, tied into achievements, and you know. But the reason why I had you pull on those two, you mentioned a word that comes to mind and lives within the heart of a servant. And that word is joy. It's something different than anything. Happy joy is something deeper. It is something much deeper. It's a space that one who is a servant gets to experience when we see someone that we are having a conversation with. As for lack of a better word, when they get it and you see that eye opening, you see that smile on their face, and it does something inside of you that is intoxicating above anything. And I tell people, you need to be obedient to your journey, because if you experience that joy, you will want it more and more and more. And what it tells when you say that is that you want to pour more into people's lives often. And that space is a beautiful place to be. And I know that you only shared two of them, but I can tell from your journey that you have a ton of it. And I consider your position where you are a sacred position, Doc, because you are there getting a chance to interact with the young leaders of tomorrow and changing them. And as you see, they're changing other people and spreading out. That is joyful stuff, man. That could keep you losing your mind for days. Those that are listening to us on this podcast, I want you guys to go and purchase Doc's book. Leadership is a common thing to the human experience. If you're here, you ought to read his books, because you need to learn how to be a leader to yourself and be a leader to your wife and husbands and children and everything, your co-workers, because as you learn the principles, the power that you will demonstrate in your life and changing those around you. Doc, I want to thank you so much for coming by Threads of Enlightenment and investing in us, your journey, and your time.
Ken, it's been an honor to be with you. I've really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you again for having me.
You're welcome, sir.